This edition of Commodity Week was recorded Friday, June 20th, 2008.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In a new trend, the price of corn, wheat, and soybeans all finished lower in Chicago. We'll discuss that and much more today on Commodity Week. Welcome to Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Brian Hoops of Midwest Market Solutions out of Yankton, South Dakota. Our panelists in studio today are Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois, Jackie Vakes of the Stuart Peterson Group out of West Bend, Wisconsin, and Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's open today's discussion with this question. What number do you think, Jackie Vakes, would ration new crop corn and soybeans?
On December futures, I'd have to say probably about the $9 level. Soybeans, $18 on November.
Pete?
I think we saw it this week on the 790 when we hit early in the week. So I think the $8 would start rationing corn. I think beans, you're looking at 16 to 17.
I think the market's made a short-term decision that maybe we're close to high enough, but I think in the long run, much higher numbers, maybe $10, $12 corn and $20 beans would be realistic if the yield turns out to be as small as what we might expect with the kind of weather we're having.
We'll come back to yields and acres in just a moment. Numbers in Chicago this week, July corn, a $7.60 high, a low at 7.17 and three quarters, the settlement price at 7.21 and a quarter, 10.5 cents lower. December futures at 7.55 and a half, down 9.5 cents from last week. What do you think USDA should do beside what they're already thinking about doing, which is to recount some acres, I think, in Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, a couple of other states, and before they come out with their June 30 acreage report? Is there anything else they ought to be up to?
Well, I personally think the responsible thing to do would be to actually defer that report until we get into July after we've certified acres. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to put out a report that we're very positive has little bearing on the market. And so I think that'd be the thing to do, but it doesn't seem like that's what they want to do.
Well, that's not what they're going to do, and then we won't know really until we get to the August report, Pete,
yeah,
what they've got on the handle. So how does the trade manage this kind of situation?
It's up in the air. You saw it this week. We made highs on Monday and then sold off the rest of the week. How many acres are gone? How many are replanted? What's the yield per acre going to be? All of those things are going to be up in the air all summer now. If they would defer this report and bring it out later, that might help, but they aren't going to do that. So I think it's still going to be a what's the latest rumor, what's the latest this or that. So we're going to get them pushed and pulled all over the place like we did this week.
Chuck, we had a lot of long liquidation during the week, especially on one of the trading days. That was put off to some extent as just to the relative strength index being in the overbought condition. You think there's anything else afoot besides that?
I think you got to look at some of the talk in Washington still limiting the investment money. There's some serious efforts out there to try to throttle that back. We saw that also happen in the crude market. So another concern is trying to force some liquidation possibly.
Well, is this something that Washington ought to be getting their hands into, Jackie Bakes?
I don't think so. And I think that they're going to be reluctant to do it. I mean, you know, when you look at the big picture in Washington, they move slow. They don't move fast. And when you look at some of the information that's been coming out, they're finding that the index funds in their long-only position has actually helped the market rather than the short side all the time. So, you know, how do you discriminate against one group in the marketplace? And that's just what they would be doing if they go against the index funds. and do it in favor of anybody else. I mean, if they're going to do it, they've got to balance it. That's got to be a real tough call for them.
Let's take a look at the number. Well, go ahead, Pete. You had something to say?
Well, I just think that it's an impossible job for them. If they do that, they're going to have to regulate lots of things, and they don't know really how to regulate anything. And once they do start regulating, all it does is makes things worse.
Let's take a look at the numbers in the bean pit at this point. July beans, high this week of $15.93, a low at $15.15, a settlement price down 27.5 cents at $15.32.5. The noves at $15.09, down 22. I know I'm moving fairly quickly through this, but really what we want to get to, I think, is acreage numbers and what everybody thinks acreage numbers might look like, how this compares to 1993. Is it different? Is it the same? What sorts of things do we have to talk about? Chuck, where do you start?
Well, I think one difference between this year and 93 would be, I think with crop insurance, there's still an effort by a lot of guys to plant certain crops, whether it be corn or beans. I think that in the long run maybe skews things a bit because what kind of yield would we get out of that crop? But I think the acres, you can certainly calculate flooded areas along rivers that are really gone, I'd say easily maybe 2 million acres. The other thing, Todd, I've been coming over here since 1993 to do Commodity Week, and it's the worst conditions I've seen on the way over here. There's areas and fields that are drowned out. I don't know how they're going to interpret that. Very difficult to do that. So I wouldn't be surprised in the long run that harvested acres go down even more. But, again, a lot of information, a long ways to go.
You got a number you're working with?
I think you can go back to maybe looking at harvested acres. I think we're trying to look at just the major states that are, you know, having problems. Maybe harvested acres of 56, you know, million is the number that Mike's coming up with. And that's kind of a 10% reduction, I think. And I think that's what we're going to go off right now. But I think it could really be worse than that when you drive up here. And the amount of replanting going on, we've done replanting all week on our own farm, and the holes that are out there, you can't just see those from the road.
Can you give me a little help here? I can work with the planted acreage, but give me a harvested acreage number.
85% maybe. That was kind of a number in the 93 year, ended up at 85% of planted acres were harvested acres. So, again, it's really a tough call when you get into – of those harvested acres, what kind of yield are you going to get? Places that aren't drowned out, you got fringe areas of fields that are not going to yield up their maximum potential. So those are kind of numbers, I think, when you're starting to work into this. Certainly have the satellite photographs that people will use as we get more into summer that can give us a lot of better data. But, you know, we have significant damage out there from all these major states. It's unprecedented, I think, the damage we have.
I'll get to the rest of you in just a moment, but do you have also a final yield, or not a final national yield, but a final total yield?
I think Mike was trying to use, in the figures we're using here, a 148 type yield. I would think, again, that's an optimistic number. When you use those kind of numbers with that kind of planted acres or harvested acres against the yield, you're into a rationing situation in corn and beans both.
And come out with what kind of number for total
minus, well, 835 million bushel was his number that we're using right now, crop size.
But what size again?
835 million.
No, down. That down 830.
Yes, down.
Down 835 yeah. million.
Gives you a carryout of 160. It gives you a minus number on a carryout. Yeah. Right.
I was falling off my chair there.
Too many numbers and too big a numbers.
Yeah.
Okay, Jackie. I know you've got some numbers you brought in. Why don't you run through those numbers? See how they compare and what you've got.
They actually come in pretty close. I was looking at 83.5 million acres planted, and using the USDA's 91.6% harvested, I came in with an 11.39 billion bushel crop, which leaves a carryout of 314 million. Now, if you take 93's numbers and come in at 85.9, just in the harvesting, only changing the harvesting number, not 148.9, leaving the yield the same, you get a 10.68 billion bushel crop, which, if we didn't change demand, would leave us at a negative 1 billion carryout. You know we have to ration something.
Pete? I think the numbers, you can put them anywhere you want, but I think it boils down to yield per acre is going to be probably a lot less unless you make the harvested acres a lot less. And just due to all the late planting and all the messes out in fields, I've got a good friend in Iowa that covered a 60-mile radius. He's been in the business for 40 years. He says it's the worst he's ever seen in Iowa, the worst ever, and he's right in the heart of the good part of Iowa. I think you're going to have – we need prices for rationing both corn and beans. I don't think we've seen the highs at all. I just think this week was a profit-taking before we really find out what we've got, and that'll be debated all summer.
Well, let's talk about that just a bit and talk about acreage, some timing events, and maybe, Chuck, you can think about this. I asked Dave Dickey to take a look earlier this afternoon on a Friday afternoon at what the cresting date for the Mississippi River was in 1993, because it was much later than it is now, almost 5 weeks, I think. What did Dave tell us, Jackie? August 2nd, I think, was the date. Here we are on June 20, and we got a crest in St. Louis today. And so there's a big difference, and I guess the big difference at that point means that if we're at August 2nd on a crest date, that means that the flooding in the upper part of the Midwest had not subsided until late July. And certainly there wasn't crop insurance that would have pushed people to continue to plant at that point. So you think your harvested acre numbers are really right, or will they put the planters in the ground and keep rolling at this time?
I think they're going to probably still plant it, but I planted corn late, and the other issue you have, will that corn reach maturity? I planted corn late, and when you try to harvest it, if it's not mature and you get a frost, you're in serious trouble then, because you can't even harvest it. I had a customer in Michigan that happened to 8 or 10 years ago.
One of the things that I wanted to point out, you know, in thinking about this crest coming in August, remember, we're cresting in St. Louis right now only because we have broken levee after levee after levee, which on average we figure we're losing 15,000 acres a minimum on each levee break. So every time you break a levee, it decreases the time it's going to crest in St. Louis. And so we didn't have that in 93.
I think the last number count I heard was more than 20. Is that right? I think that's the last
example
count
in Iowa.
20 levees broken.
Iowa's the number one corn state, number two bean state. The river levels in Iowa were 12 feet above all-time record, and 93 was not the all-time record
right.
in Iowa.
Right.
So, I mean, Iowa is devastated in areas, in part of the really good growing areas.
I think if you also could interpret the data by looking at the number of counties in each state that are disaster areas, Todd, that gives you a lot of information to look at and say, if they're disaster areas, that many counties, you got some real problems.
Well, and I think, too, when you look at the state rainfall records, and I look at those religiously, especially at this time of year, never before have you seen where every major reporting area has had an immense amount of rain in the last 2 to 3 weeks. You know, they're maybe double their normal rainfall in a lot of places, but the majority of it came in the last 2 to 3 weeks. That's not a good situation.
Let's do this now. So let's divide the country up into the not geographically, but simply to the haves and the have-nots, so that those that don't have a crop or have not very much of their crop, and those that do have the crop. How do you deal with each of those situations, and how do you, as a broker, help them manage the risk that they've already the risk that's already taken place, and the risk that's left to be put into place?
Well, the only thing you can do is if they've got corn already sold, you certainly have to be long the market in some way, you know, usually with a call option. And on the other side, you use puts, and you use put strategies, and you just continue to roll them up.
I think that's, you know, you got to look at calls to replace what you've already sold. A lot of people sold stuff really cheap 6 months ago, 8 months ago. It was a good price then, but now you look at $7, $8, and it's not. And then the puts. But I also... You know, you have to look at that individual situation of what they've got, what they need. $8 corn times 100 bushel, if it's really bad, is better than we had last year with $3 corn at 180 bushel 2 years ago.
The other element you have to look at, a lot of guys, how many bushels have they oversold their bushels because the weather is so severe? Those people really need to be protected. Number two are the livestock feeders. Could be in a critical situation. Those guys have got to be long, as Jackie said. Those two people out there are really in a world of possible hurt here.
Yeah.
Will we have a big jump in bean acres?
I think the bean acres will go up. There are guys switching over. I think the bean acres will go up and corn acres are going to be significantly lower than we think.
I would agree with that. I think corn acres will come down and bean acres will go up. The flooded areas, they can't plant corn anymore. They'll have to go to beans. In the southern Illinois, where they're harvesting wheat now, where they have had corn go under, those guys are switching from corn back to soybeans.
Well, I don't totally disagree, but at the same time, I think bean acres may go up according to, you know, compared to what the USDA had. Then they'll come back down. And also because of the lateness of the situation and some of the rain that we've had, the double crop beans may not be there, you know, and that's part of the figure.
Let's take a look at some of the rest of the numbers as they finished up this week in Chicago. Wheat futures, July contract, 913 and three quarters, the high, the low at 863 and a quarter, and a settlement price down 15 and a half cents at 866 and a half, and the August contract 942 and a half, 12 and a half cents lower for the week. And the June live cattle finished at 95.57 and a half unchanged. The August at 113.57 and a half were up 442 and a half. July lean hogs at 77.17 and a half were up 377 and a half from last week.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the Midwestern Regional Climate Center located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. Sunny and what you could call early fall-like weather settled in over Illinois this week. The dry weather helped to dry fields in the central part of the state and allowed floodwaters in southeastern Illinois to recede without worry of additional rainfall. While extreme flooding continued along the Mississippi River, at least more rain did not add to the problems. Illinois was almost rain-free this week. Severe thunderstorms rolled through Illinois last Sunday and did produce some minor damage and a few downpours. There were a few scattered showers in western and southern portions of the state toward the end of the week, but most of Illinois was dry. Some sections of the state, especially the far south, could use some rain at this point, and even central and northern Illinois could stand to see some rain. The very dry air and breezy conditions this week helped dry things out pretty rapidly. While temperatures remained in the 70s and low 80s, dew points were down into the 40s and low 50s, uncharacteristically low for this time of year. Temperatures this week averaged 3 to 4 degrees below normal statewide, with warm days and cool nights. Chances for showers and thunderstorms will increase this weekend, then back off some Monday and Tuesday. Chances will again increase the last half of the week, although rainfall activity will be scattered for the most part. Temperatures should be near normal most of the week. For the Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
This edition of Commodity Week was recorded Friday, June the 20th, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. Our panelists today in studio are Jackie Vakes of the Stuart Peterson Group in West Bend, Wisconsin, Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana, and Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Our guest today is Brian the Hitman Hoops of Midwest Market Solutions in Yankton, South Dakota. Brian's president and senior market analyst at Midwest Market Solutions. He can be frequently heard on radio stations across the country, including WNAX out of Yankton, South Dakota, WHO in Des Moines, and the Red River Farm Network. He can also be heard daily on DTN doing his own grain market commentary program, as well as the Minneapolis Grain Exchange Marketing Hotline. And, of course, this program. Thanks for joining us, Brian.
Thanks for having me, Todd. I've been called lots of things, but I don't think I've ever been called Hitman before.
Well, Brian, I couldn't help myself because I went online and read your blog.
Oh, yeah.
And I found out that you are a pro wrestling freak, my friend. So let's start with your preview of the Night of Champions on pay-per-view a week from Sunday.
Well, that is coming up, you know, and I do also write for a wrestling website as well, so kind of keep busy doing lots of things like that.
Do you really? Okay, let's talk about the commodity markets. Tell me your view of the downtrend we had this week in Chicago. What'd you make of it?
you know, the market had advanced so sharply over the last 2 weeks due to all the news about the flooding. We are bound to have some sort of a correction, and I think that's what the market's trying to determine in here, is maybe a little bit of a correction. While floodwaters are starting to recede a little bit, sunshine is starting to come out, the rains have kind of stopped falling, there are some planters rolling around the Midwest. A lot of clients in Iowa that we've talked to are getting into some of the ponded fields that are starting to drain, and so really there's not a lot of reason for the market to keep moving higher at this point, and a correction, I think, is very healthy in this time frame.
What would you give us a view of the crops in your part of the world, Brian?
Well, you know, we're located in southeastern South Dakota, right along the border of Nebraska and Iowa. You know, in our area, I hate to say this, but we're actually getting a little bit dry, you know, right where we're at. So the sprinklers are running on my my house, on my lawn, which is something we don't want to admit at this early stage. But crops actually look very good in here. A lot of hay is being cut. There is some guys that are replanting some corn and some soybeans at this point. They switched hybrids to a little bit earlier growing season in the corn. One thing that we've really noticed, and one of the guys that works for me is a farmer, he has put down nitrogen levels of about 200 units, and he did a soil testing. He's down to 90 units, so a lot of leaching has been done, and maybe that's something the trade hasn't totally accounted for, is how bad the yield production could be this year unless farmers do something as far as knifing in anhydrous this year. But, you know, things are looking okay, but it's just the lack of nutrients in the soil. We've had, I think, excessive rains that have washed a lot of that away. Right now, I think farmers focused on getting some of those ponds replanted, reseeded if they can, get as much as they can planted because of the high prices. You know, if corn was at $2 or beans were at $5, they probably wouldn't mess with it. But with these price levels, they're going to plant as much as they possibly can, and they are going to go back in and try and get some nitrogen put back into the soils and give this crop a little bit of a boost.
And just a quick note on the nitrogen. The suggestion from the University of Illinois soil fertility specialist is not to go ahead and apply nitrogen across the field, but to put it on, see if it greens up and whether it actually needs it, and then if that's the case, to go ahead and do it, but otherwise don't apply it.
Here in central Illinois, where I'm at, we're just finishing the first-time beans, and we're way behind on everything. What do you look at as the downside here after this little break before we would not be bullish for down the road?
You know, I think it'd be hard to really change these trends of these markets from just a fundamental and a technical standpoint. You know, from just a pure fundamental, if you look at production-wise, obviously we've lost some production. We've probably lost quite a bit of corn acres, despite what Informa had to say. Soybean acres are probably going to be a little bit increased, but you know, it's going to be real hard to change this trend. You're starting to ration the demand of corn and soybeans, but that, you know, that's a process. It's not a one-time event. It's not that prices can go 1 week to $7.70 and all of a sudden we've rationed all of our demand. It's more of a process. So I think you have a fairly long marketing window coming up from now through the spring time frame. Certainly, unless we get some early out of CRP acres, there's going to be a bidding war for land and for acres next spring that we haven't seen in the last 2 years. We've seen big bidding wars and probably going to see a bigger one yet this year. You know, so really to change the trend of this thing, I think you'd have to have some major fundamental news, a big shift in here, early release of CRP, some sort of a government intervention, which I don't look for them to take that type of action.
Brian, you know, I'm hearing from the ethanol people down here that ethanol is actually becoming the byproduct and distillers is the main product. Are you hearing the same thing up there?
Yeah, we're starting to hear that as well. You know, and we're also hearing a lot of plants closing across Iowa or in Illinois area. Maybe not ones that are online or active producers, but ones that are thinking about starting up and maybe have suspended operations till markets get better. We have one in our backyard that has done that exact thing. We're scheduled to open this spring. Now just decided to wait till the market conditions improve. So we're going to see, I think, maybe a slowdown, especially in new plants coming online, and that's a sign of that demand rationing.
That's a sign of demand rationing. How about the plants that are operating? Do you think we've heard that as many as maybe 10 might be shuttering their doors that are already operational? Have you got a number that you've been working with?
I've heard, you know, I think 2 weeks ago we heard three, and now this week another 7, so I'm in agreement with that 10 number that you threw out there.
But can we quantify that, and do we know that they're actually doing that, or is that just a trade number that's a rumor?
I think best case, that's a trade number at this point. That's a rumor to be in the market. I don't know that we can say that this is actually happening at this point. We don't have any evidence of that. We do know that there are some plants that are not coming online, and I think there's at least five of them that will not be coming online, but there's rumors up to 10.
Well, let me ask you a question, Brian. I think more importantly is how many gallons are we talking about?
Yeah, that's a good question, and you know, who knows at this point? You know, it's hard to get our handle around that. How many bushels that we won't use, or how many gallons that we won't use? But I certainly think, you know, the USDA saying 4 billion bushels of ethanol usage this year. I don't think we're going to hit quite that amount. You know, we're probably going to drift closer back to that 3 to 3.5 billion bushels used.
Brian, we've talked about the government on and off here. Do you realistically think there's anything they can do at this point to change things, or is it all just talk and speculation that they'll do something?
Well, you know, it's a question I get asked almost daily by clients. You know, they do believe the government could step in here. I don't know that what they can do. They had a golden opportunity this winter to open CRP acres, and they were adamant they weren't going to do it. I think it is possible that they could do something yet this late summer, maybe early fall, and open up some acres for next year. But for this year, there isn't a whole lot they can do. You know, the market will probably correct itself and rectify itself just by the rationing. I think we're seeing that in the export demand here right now. You know, the exports this week, 13.5 million bushels for corn. That's one of the lower numbers that I can remember. And it's a direct result of that rationing. You know, these price levels should also encourage livestock producers to scale back. And so by the time the USDA, I think, gets around to doing something this summer, the problem's probably going to be corrected for the most part. But going down the road, we obviously need to have more production in place. We need to have more acres in production, and that is something USDA will have to address.
Do you think that we will get a drop in the marketplace as we head into late June, July, as we have in recent years? I understand that there's a lot of reasons that we wouldn't have that happen. But I'm wondering to know if you think it might happen and if it should scare producers, or if you would more likely see it as a normal function of the marketplace coming into that time frame.
Well, you're right. The market tendency, the normalcy of the market is to have a little setback. And I think you could see that again after we reach an apex or some point here in the growing season. We get all the acres and numbers factored into prices. One thing I thought was interesting is I had written several months ago that anytime we had a delayed harvest or delayed planting, I mean, like we had in 93 or 95, we've lost anywhere from 2 to 3 million acres. And now with the flooding that we've seen, we're probably going to lose as much as that or more. And that probably won't show up until later into the summer after the acreage numbers are all certified. We could see a pullback just going into harvest just to see how good or how bad these yields are. And I think, you know, once we get into the fields, that'll really determine what happens. You know, if you look back at, say, 93, the market really didn't start to take off until we started getting some early yield results and found out the crop was really much poorer than what the trade had anticipated.
Brian, thanks much.
Thank you very much.
Brian Hoops is with Midwest Market Solutions out of Yankton, South Dakota. Now a final word from our guest in studio, Jackie Vakes.
Well, I guess the challenges continue to go on. What we've just got to do is focus on the positive and do what we have to do to protect our businesses.
Jackie Vakes is with the Stuart Peterson Group out of West Bend, Wisconsin. Pete Manhart is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois.
And with all the turmoil we've had planting in this area and in other parts of the country, don't let that be your number one objective. Look at what kind of a plan you need to make what you have work better.
And Chuck Shelby is with Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana.
It's a unique time in agriculture. I guess if anything, if you need a life vest, this is the time to grab it and put it on, because we're going to have a wild ride in the next 2 months.
And that wraps up this week's edition of Commodity Week. Something to keep in mind, you can access this program and analysis throughout the week on demand on your computer. Our website address is willag.org. That's willag.org. You have a good week. I'm Todd Gleason.